several people that we've been praying for. I hope you'll continue to do so. Let me try this again. How's that? Not something? Let me try it again then. Let's see here. How about that button? How about that button? How about that one? Right, this thing right here. What a piece of junk is it? How about that? I wonder why they got these other buttons up and down here for, because I can't see them, you know. I'm not complaining. I'd rather it be like that and have to pull it off than to have one eyeball that you could take and look down there with it. Wouldn't that be something? Take your Bible, if you will, please, the book of Jeremiah. We're going to be looking there quickly here this evening and get a thought or two out of that. And we're going to be finishing out the new year and looking forward to seeing the old one out and the new one in. And so a lot of snores between here and there. All right, take your Bible now, the book of Jeremiah chapter 5. We looked there this morning. Look in verse 2 if you're able to stand. And look, if you will, verse 2 and 3. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than a rock, and they've refused to return. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God. Beside thee, there is none else. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Thank you, Lord, for having given us a year to be able to serve you in. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to even do better and look with great anticipation to thy coming again, Lord, in this coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at this morning, we were talking about that God's looking for a man. But I want to tell you something. I want to preach a little while out of those two verses tonight. God's looking for more than a little lip service. And let me tell you right now, it is in verse number 2 that we read, and though they say the Lord liveth. I mean, anybody can say that. Oh, yeah, isn't God good to us and all that business there? And those are all good sayings and all of that in the right place. But they ought not to be said with a heart that's contrary to that. In other words, we ought not just be buzzing our lips. Our lip and our life and our heart ought to be poured out unto the Lord. You know, the Bible said over there, where was it? Matthew in chapter number 7. Whenever he said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I mean, there's a lot of people saying this, saying that. You can get religion a dime a dozen. I was thinking about, you know, every now and again they'll have one of those guys that played ball, especially, you know, for the 9/11, the guy raising money and doing some good things and has done some good things. But anyhow, he'll get one of those celebrities there that used to be a baseball player or some sort, and then the ball player wants to do a little preaching and says, you know, the Bible says that when we do good to others, God will do good to you and I. I wonder why he didn't tell him that while he's playing baseball on Sunday. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, things begin a little bit different. Here was a crowd here that they were foolish. That's their condition. God called, but they didn't want to answer. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get like that. You ever have this kind of thinking, man, I wish I'd have waited until Brother So-and-so was preaching before I surrendered. I wish I'd have waited until he was preaching before I got saved. God's cause you're looking for a man to save you. I want to tell you right now, when God comes calling and God comes knocking, he don't give a rip who it is that's standing there preaching. This will be God's timing and God's calling. And that's the reason why they got in a big fuss over there in Corinthians. Some said, I'm a Paul. Another said, I'm an Apollos. And he said, well, who is Paul? Who is Apollos except servants of the Lord and so forth and ministers of righteousness? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out here is Jeremiah. Now, I don't want you to lose the thought of your text there, but I want you to hold it there, and then I want you to look over in the book of Titus in chapter number 1. There's a passage there that we ought to look at in the book of Titus in chapter number 1. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Lord found me when he did find me and snatched me as a brand from the burning and washed me by his own blood and forgave my sin and put me in the house of God, in the family of God, that I might worship him in spirit and in truth. in the book of Titus, in chapter number 1, verse number 16, here's what he said. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. That's what we're reading about over in Jeremiah. In other words, the God He called, but they refused to answer. He said they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and to every good work a reprobate. Now I'm going to tell you what that means is, when you get to the place back over there in the book of Jeremiah that we're going to be looking at in chapter number 7, when you get to the place in your life to where that you become reprobate, that means you've rejected God so long that now all you'll ever be able to do is reject Him. You've been rejected by the Holy One of Israel, and you've rejected Him over and over again. Now God's going to reject you. Over there in Jeremiah chapter number 7, at about verse number 8, we'll read there. In the passage he said, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom ye know not, and then come stand before me in this house," talking about in the house of God, "which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." God's looking, God notices, He pays attention to what's going on. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, here's what happened back over in our text. Here's what ended up happening to them. They were able to say some good things, but surely they swear falsely. You know, it's one thing to be able to say something truthful about God. It's another thing to take it to yourself and to believe it and act in obedience to it. In this lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said that their condition over in verse 21 of our text, of our main text in chapter 5 of Jeremiah, over there in chapter number, in verse number 21, if I've got it right, here's something about their condition. "Hear now this, O ye foolish people without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears, but they hear not." Now here's what happened is that, here's what sin will do to you. God gave them the ability and the capability to hear the word and act upon it. See what was right and act upon it. But they didn't want to do that. They wanted to talk a good story, but they didn't want to walk with Him in fellowship. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that you're sitting here tonight, and it's recorded over in the New Testament and the Old Testament, is that my house is to be a place of prayer, but if you're not careful, you made it a den of thieves, people who lie and cheat and connive and live in all kind of sin. Do you know sin, verse 25 of our text, he said, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." I got to tell you, he says, "For among my people are found wicked men that lay and that set its snares, and they trap and they catch men. As a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit, and they become great and waxen rich." In the lesson that we're looking at, God said this condition of these people, they were very foolish. By the way, let me tell you, I don't care what church you're in, where you ever may go, is that when God comes knocking on your heart about something, you're foolish to say no to God. You're foolish to not get it straightened up and get it corrected. These people here, they not only were foolish, they were really ignorant about what God could do and what God was going to do. And they were just blind and they were deaf. They could have seen, but they wouldn't see. They could have heard, but they did not hear. In the lesson that we're looking at, and we don't have time to deal with all of this, but let me tell you, is that if you're capable of hearing tonight, then don't let your heart get so hardened that you're not willing to be tender toward God and to say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and say yes to God. I want you to notice another thing in this lesson that you will in verse number 22 of this text in chapter number 5. "Fear not me," he asked. "Fear ye not me," asked the Lord. "Saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, in which have placed the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual degree?" You notice that the sea comes up and it crashes against the seashore, then it goes right back out. That's because the proud waves, God won't let them come any farther. And until God does give them permission, and when He does, it may wipe out a city. But until then, it's going to go up there and crash where it's told to, and then it's going right back out to where that God intended for it to be. And God said, "Don't you have any fear of God whatsoever for me," and so forth and so on. I got to tell you something. The tossing of those waves is a picture of the restlessness of the wicked. Do you want to live restless, die restless, spend eternity without hope and without God? I got to tell you right now, there's something more for you than that. But the Bible said in verse number 23, but this people hath revolted and a rebellious heart, revolted and they've gone. In other words, they don't want what God had to say, and we live in a day and we live in an hour that's just like that, full of deceit. Now, in the day and hour we live in, it's a lot different in the church of the living God. False preachers on every hand. I'm glad there's a remnant according to the election of grace, and I'm glad that God is on the throne and everything's running right on time. But let me tell you, for the most part, people are just absolutely duped. And they want to feel good about themselves like they are without the need to ever repent. And that's what called psychology is. If you ever go to a place and you go to feeling so real good about yourself, you think, man, I wish I could feel like this all the time. It's a lie. It's a fleshly fabricated lie. Flesh can never please God whatsoever. I'm glad to be able to know that the only way you'll ever be able to please God with flesh for Him to smell it burning. The only way in the world that God's ever going to be pleased with you and I is when He's dealt with our sins because of our confession that He granted and repentance that He granted in faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that there's about five things in verse number 7 and 8's part of it is that they've lost in this kind of condition. They lost their purity, number one. In the day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you, it feels good, it feels clean to be washed by the blood, born into the family of God. But when you go to getting a little bit farther away and dibbling and dabbling in sin until you finally end up getting so loose to where that you've lost your purity. I want to say to you that in verse number 9 and 10, they lost their protection. Here you'll find that whenever you get away from God, who else is going to be able to protect you? God says, shall I not visit these for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. Losing their protection. You know, right now we're bragging about in this country. While we're a country that now has become anti-God in its leadership, and we're bragging about we've got the most sophisticated warships, battleships, airplanes, weaponry. That won't amount to one hill of beans when God breathes upon it and says, take away their embattlements. It's not from the Lord, and as a result, we'll leave them to themselves. In verse number 13 of our text, and the prophet shall become wind. Look at that. You lose your preaching. You're going to get in the world, the flesh, and the devil running you. And I'll tell you what you'll end up with. You'll end up with a wind gas pipe preacher that's just going to be windy, and the word is not in them, and it shall be done unto them. Isn't that something? Somebody said, how is your preacher? Oh, he's windy enough. Oh, well, I got tired of going to church where that they won't never let me say nothing or have my say and all of that, as all that business there. Is he running everything in y'all's church? No, but he's there to make sure God does and nobody else does. I promise you right now, in the day and hour that we're living in, that's the way that we ought to be involved in. See, the average Baptist church is looking to be able to build themselves a case, get what they want by as much popularity as they can. But they'll get away from thus saith the Lord. Well, hey, here's what the Bible says. Oh, well, we've already voted on it now, and the majority wins. Isn't that sad? What'd your preacher say about it? He said he was windy, and he just wanted to go ahead and be a windbag, and let's let it go and not mess with it too much. Last but not least, let me tell you, they lost not only their preacher in preaching, they lost their power, verse 15 and 16, if you read about it. And let me tell you right now, he said, I'm going to bring a nation upon you from afar, and so forth and so on. And as a result, number 5, verse 16 and 17, their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They're all mighty men, and they shall eat up thine harvest and bread, which thy sons and daughters should eat. And they shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds, and they shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees, and they shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Here's what God said. You want to dibble and dabble and go on in sin, ignore God, revolt against Him, burst the bonds, try to get on out and do your own little old thing contrary to the mind of God? Well, you can do that if you want to. But what you're going to do is you're going to lose the possessions that you trusted in at one time. And they'll not be able to pay God off. And as a result of that, make no mistake about it, Israel realized and knew that he was God, and besides him, there was none else. He made them cry. He didn't make a full end of them, and I'm glad he didn't. And let me tell you something, that's the very last thing in verse number 31 of that text when he said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. Isn't that sad? And what will you do in the end thereof? Now, I got to tell you, you can play church and move around, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. But let me tell you, the most part of it in the day and hour that we're living in, they don't have any regard for God, the Bible, holiness, righteousness, and the judgment of the Lord whatsoever. And they may do all right. They may do all right like they are. And it's sort of like an old boy that one time, he was one of those hard-shell Baptists. You know, a hard shell, I call him a hard head. They believe what is to be will be and what ain't to be won't be. If you're born to go to heaven, you will. If you're born to go to hell, you will. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So forth and so on. I got to tell you something. Make no mistake about it. One of their died-in-the-war preachers, as he lay on the deathbed, he looked up at those around him and he said, I want to tell all of you something before I leave here. I've been preaching wrong all these years. I'm going to tell you what I've been preaching may do to live by, but it won't do to die by. And I'm about to leave the world here. And let me tell you, what you got better do to live by and die by. See? See, they wanted to be able to do that. And of course, you know, some of my crowd, they'd bring their own snuff thing where they could spit, you know, in their cup, spit in their tune. Some of them, you know, want to chew a little bit. And have me right in the house of God. If you wanted to go ahead and live like a wild ass's colt, they just went ahead and done it. If you're born to go to heaven, what good? All that is a damnable doctrine, a damnable heresy. See? You may die without hope, without God, and go to a devil's hell, but it'll not be because he didn't love you, and it'll not be because he did not give you the love of the truth that you might receive it and be saved. See? It's good to be in the house of God on the last day of the year. And I hope I can leave here having laid it all on the altar with him. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. And then, Lord, we realize and know that thou art God, and we pray you'd help us to receive it and to believe it and to humble our hearts before thee. Now, bless every family with those represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.